And if you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, we're in Exodus chapter 17 this morning. We're in Exodus chapter 17. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and encamped in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did strive with Moses, and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why strive ye with me? Wherefore do ye put the Lord to the test? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, and said, Why hast thou brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children, and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smitest the river, take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come waters out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the striving of the children of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Shall we pray together? Loving Father, we do ask your blessing upon your word this morning. We pray, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you will work in our lives through this word that you have given, that you may take your word and plant it into our hearts, that you may show us those things you mean for us to learn of the word of God, and by your Spirit, Father, that we may be strengthened in our daily walk with you, that we may learn to trust in you in all manner of circumstances and various kinds of experiences that you bring us through. And may we keep our heart of faith that we may trust the living God. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is The Waters of Meribah, for there they did chide against the Lord. It says in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 13, This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. God is in the process of sanctifying his children. And as we look at the various examples in the Old Testament of the children of Israel and of their wanderings in the wilderness of sin, we find that God does challenge them upon many occasions that they might come to him and be sanctified. And we find that in this particular case, here we see that the chiding of the children of Israel against Moses led them to the waters of Meribah, where they might meet with the Lord, and that God might impress upon him his great provision and of his love for them, and to realize that God does sanctify his people. Let us first of all look at this account here. In Exodus chapter 17, they were in the desert of Sin And we find that they chided against the Lord. All the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. One of the most basic commodities of life, of course, is water. And without it, we become greatly thirsty because we lack of that life-giving liquid that God provides. And we find that we become very much exhausted without it, and that our body begins to dehydrate without it, and there are various parts of our bodies that, of course, need this to survive. And not only so, but our whole life. So we can imagine that as the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, they were looking for water. That is, they must look for places to be refreshed and to be enlivened because of the water, the life-giving water that was needed for their daily lives. We must also take into account that they had livestock with them, and the livestock also needed to have the refreshing waters that they might live. And as they journeyed in the wilderness, and as they came through this area and encamped in Rephidim, we find that they began to murmur against the Lord. They began to murmur against the Lord. We might call it a striving or a chiding against the Lord. And they, of course, looked to Moses that they might find their leadership. And so they go to Moses and they began to chide against Moses. And so in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 2, "Wherefore the people did strive," or chide, "with Moses, and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why strive ye with me? Wherefore do ye put the Lord to the test?'" The chiding of the children of Israel led also to the testing of the Lord in the wilderness. I suppose we might ask the question, what does it mean to test the Lord? What does it mean that we tempt Him, that we try Him in some way? Well, as the children of Israel were traveling through this arid and desert-like region and finding that there was not altogether the things that they needed to live, that they looked to their own selves and to their own bodies, and they began to feel as though that they were led out into this region and that somehow they were not being cared for. After all, God had led them out of Egypt through the miraculous deeds which He did perform by the hand of Moses. And now they find themselves in this area or region where there is not altogether the resources that they need. The words Meribah and Massah mean or signify a place of temptation or trial or contention. A place of temptation or trial or contention. When we think about those three different things that sometimes come into our lives, such as temptation or trial or contention, we find that we do not seem to have any shortage of those things. That is, there are always certain temptations that overwhelm us, certain situations that we feel very much at a loss to know how to do or to carry out the things that we want to do, and we fall into some kind of a trial, a temptation, if you will. And the trials that come upon us in life many and varied, and they affect us emotionally and physically and spiritually. And then sometimes there are contentions, those things that seem to be against us, and we don't know just how God intends to solve those problems that we have, whether they be temptations or trials or contentions. And this became a place where Israel fell into this area where it touched upon their lives. They fell into this temptation of chiding against Moses, their leader. They fell into this aspect of trial. They had no water and they didn't know what they would do, and perhaps their lives would expire. They had a contention, and of course their contention basically was that Moses had led them out into this wilderness area, and now what do they do? You have led us here. Have you led us out here to die? And so the whole concept here within their minds was one of desperateness. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, "Why have you led us out into this place?" In verse 2 and 3, again, "Wherefore the people did strive and Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why strive ye with me? Wherefore do ye put the Lord to the test?' And the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Why hast thou brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?'" And so it did seem like a very desperate situation that they had fallen into, and that this new circumstance, which has now developed, brought them closer to the place where they began to be much more impatient with their leader. You know, sometimes we do get impatient with other people, whether they be our leaders or those who are nearest to us. And we have to learn how to trust in God that we may be able to handle the situation without losing our control or becoming too emotional about it. For these people, the children of Israel, there were some millions of them, perhaps, that had followed Moses out into the wilderness. By some accounts, it may have been more than a million people on this great trek across the wilderness and unto it, nearing the land of Canaan, the place that God had promised to them. And we find that the children of Israel were beginning to doubt. They were beginning to doubt. Doubts sometimes overtake our hearts. And we wonder why God is doing the things that He is doing. We may question and may ask the Lord, "Lord, what is going on in my life right now? I don't understand the trial that I am going through." We may ask the Lord, "I don't understand why that things happen the way that they do, why my life can't be a lot easier than it is." Or we may get into an attitude or a frame of mind where we feel somewhat angry and upset and disturbed about things. And because God is the one that we believe has the complete control and authority over the things that happen to us, we go to the Lord and we have questions. And we wonder sometimes just how and for what reason that this comes about. But I'll read the verse to you again in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 13 that says this: "This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and He was sanctified in them." In other words, God has a purpose for the things that He takes us through. God has a reason for the things that He does. We don't always understand the reason, but God does have a reason. What does it mean to tempt the Lord? Well, Israel questioned the Lord's leading. They questioned Moses. They wondered why Moses had brought them out into this place. They had done this before, of course. And this is another interesting part of the human nature, is that we never seem to learn the lesson well the first time. That God has to bring many of these lessons back into our lives if we are to learn them and to be sanctified by God, to be set apart by God. And that God means to refine us in some way, that we would be truly known as the people of God. That was the Lord's intention, of course, that these people should be the people of God. And it is the same that He desires for us, that we might be known as the children of God, that we might walk with Him, and that we might be at the place that we should be in our faith and in our obedience and trust. Israel questioned the Lord, and this is a tempting that sometimes we do unto the Lord. We question the Lord. What is it that you have brought up? Us out of Egypt that we might die? That is the question, of course, that came to their minds as they thought about the situation they were in. As it says in verse 3, "Why hast thou brought us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And so they questioned the Lord's protection, the Lord's provision, the Lord's blessing. And so it is to tempt God is to chide against Him with our murmurings or our complaints. Physical problems will sometimes bring such things upon our minds, that we become overwrought with certain physical difficulties and we complain against the Lord. It may be some financial stress that we are under, and we don't understand why that we are under this and we begin to complain against the Lord. Or some particular emotional thing which is taking place in our lives, and we again come to the Lord and we're just not able to handle everything on a level that we feel comfortable, and so we complain to the Lord. Remember, Moses here is a type of Christ, in that Moses is leading the children of Israel not only out of bondage in Egypt, but out into the wilderness and unto the promised land. He becomes their deliverer in that sense. And God uses him as the means of delivering His people. And so we find that in Moses there is also a type of Christ in this. And so they do come unto Moses and they cry unto Moses. And now Moses cries unto the Lord. And so in this sense we see that Moses becomes an intercessor for the children of Israel. Look at verse 4 if you will. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They are almost ready to stone me." Well, we know Jesus had His conflicts among the people that He ministered to in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Galilee, all around the region of which He went ministering. And though sometimes the people came to Him in great numbers and wanted to hear what He had to say as He spoke for God, we find that sometimes they would even lift up stones to stone Him if they could. But He escaped out of their midst. because it was not yet time that he should be delivered up to be crucified. And he still yet had much to do to fulfill the word of God. Moses was being used of God. God would use Moses not only as a deliverer, but as an intercessor. And so what does Moses do? But he comes to the Lord and he appeals to God concerning this matter of the lack of water for the people of God. In verse 5, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smitest the river, take it in thine hand, and go. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And so, secondly, the rock of Horeb shall be smitten for the waters of life to come forth. The rock of Horeb shall be smitten for the waters of life to come forth. As much as we see that Moses is a type of Christ in some of the things that he is doing, yet we find also there are many types in the scripture. And the rock in Horeb, the rock in Horeb also becomes a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we find that Jesus would be smitten for us, that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We find that God tells Moses to take the rod and to smite upon the rock. And so he gives him the instructions here, how that he may obtain water from the rock. "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Now it may also be that we should note here that this was not just any rock in Horeb. Remember, this is the place where the presence of God was when Moses first found the Lord. He was on his journeys through that wilderness area in Midian. We find that God led him to Mount Sinai, to the Mount of Horeb, that area or region where the burning bush was. And that we aren't told exactly the location, except saying it is a rock, the rock in Horeb. But no doubt it was a specific rock that Moses was to be led to, and that he was to smite. For we find that Jesus was divinely called of God, that he would be known as the rock of our salvation. And so this is just not any rock that is being pictured here in type, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a rock, a staff, and a servant. Those three would bring forth the water of life, the rock, the staff, and the servant. Of course, Jesus is type in those, all three of them. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the staff in the hand of the shepherd that guides us and leads us and directs us aright in our lives. And he is the suffering servant. He is the one who willingly died for our sins and took upon him the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb." And then it says that Horeb was of the Mount of God, in that it was that place where God would meet Moses. And so now the Lord instructs Moses in these things. The divine direction of God was needed for the water to come forth. The divine direction of God was needed for the water to come forth out of the rock. In verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the striving of the children of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us? Please turn with me now, if you would, to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, beginning with verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 5. Here we find that the Apostle Paul speaks of the children of God in the wilderness, Israel in the wilderness. And beginning at verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9, neither let us put Christ to the test, as some of them also tested him, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. But Paul begins by saying at the beginning of the chapter these words, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant of that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual food, and drink, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Do we realize of the great significance of this type that is in Exodus in chapter 17? For we find that the Lord did guide Moses to a specific rock in Horeb, and that rock would be smitten for the children of Israel, that their chiding may cease, and that they may learn what it meant for God to come to their aid and to provide for them, and that they might realize of the sanctifying work of God. The point I would gather from this is to say this, that those things which we often go through are a part of the sanctifying work of God. God means for us to come to our Meribahs. God means for us to come to those places where we must rely upon God, where we must seek Him, where we must give ourselves wholly over to His care and to His provision and to the life-giving salvation that He provides at the rock of our salvation, even Christ. They were baptized into Moses. They ate of the same spiritual meat. They drank of the same spiritual drink, and that rock was Christ. Christ is our baptism. He is that one that is the very essence of salvation and hope and life. And though we are dead in trespasses and in sins, we find that Christ is the one who can quicken us, who can make us alive. But we must trust in Him. We find that Christ is our spiritual meat. That is, He is the bread of heaven, which has been sent down to us. And as the bread of heaven, He is our meat. He is our food. He is our drink. And we must learn to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Just as we are to learn to accept of Him by faith in those things which He has done for us, of His death upon the cross, of His suffering, and of His burial and resurrection, we find we must accept the spiritual food that He gives. We find they drank of the same spiritual drink. We find that the rock in Horeb must be smitten, that the water of life should come forth from it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, being in that type, is the one who was smitten for us. And so as He was smitten, we find that He brings forth the water of life. Like the woman at the well who came seeking water, and Jesus being there and said, "Draw water for me first." And then He told her that the water that He could give would be as the water of life, that she might know of the true life of God in her by faith. And of course, this is that rock of our salvation. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so as we consider this passage this morning, just remember as you come in contact with the various kinds of temptations that you have, as you come in contact with those various kinds of trials or sufferings or contentions which come upon you, that you may remember not to test the Lord in these things, but to trust the Lord through these things. In the same chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, it says this, which may be of some help to you: "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You see, sometimes the things that we go through are a temptation, are a trial, are a contention. They are unto us like the waters of Meribah. And we need the water of life. But Jesus Christ is the only rock of our salvation. He is the only one that can bring forth the waters of life for us. We may have these various temptations and trials and contentions, but God will carry us through them. And this verse tells us that there is a way to escape. That is, Christ is the one who is able to help us through those various difficulties in our life. And so you must trust in Christ. You must lean upon Him. You must come to Him and learn to drink of the waters of life, and learn to partake of that spiritual meat and that spiritual drink that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, thank You for Your word to us this morning. Pray Your Holy Spirit to take it to our hearts, that we may learn of You, and that we may rely upon You, Lord. For we know that in and of ourselves, we are without strength, that we need that strengthening which God can give us through our divine Savior, through our Jesus Christ, who is the spiritual meat and drink that sustains us in this world. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.